I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I'm in the first stages. I'm trying to pack. I just left CVS and just got two of everything. I feel like Noah's Ark. So I just grabbed two of everything and make sure, you know, I got the things that I need to get.
Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside New York Times bestseller Brian Windhorst live from the Cobra Dome and welcoming back six-time NBA champ, Basketball Hall of Famer, Scottie Pippen. Our Jump family is slowly reuniting, guys. Hello. I'm so happy. Love having you here, Scottie. And coming up, as the Celtics continue their preparation. I love it. As the Celtics continue their preparation to chase an 18th NBA championship, is 22-year-old Jason Tatum already capable of being the best player on a title team? We're going to discuss that. First, though, so remember when the undefeated Mark Spears reported that the NBA and its players union agreed upon a specific list of approved social messages that players can put on the backs of their jerseys to wear when the season restarts in Orlando? Well, today, the Sixers' Mike Scott and the Celtics' Jaylen Brown said this in response to the reported list.
They gave us some names and phrases to put on the back of jerseys. That was terrible. It was a bad list, bad choice. They didn't give players a chance to, voice their opinion on them. They just gave us a list to pick from, So, that was bad. That's terrible.
I was disappointed. Very disappointed in the list as well. That was agreed to. I think that attempts were made to add to that list, but the NBA agreed that list was what was satisfactory. So hopefully maybe we can get some more names on that list or some more things to add, or meet in the middle, but I was disappointed as well.
So as a reminder, here's a list of some of the notable approved messages, including Black Lives Matter, Say Their Names, Vote, I Can't Breathe. There are several more there. Scottie, I'm curious your reaction to both of those guys' comments, because I also want to note Jaylen Brown is on the union's executive committee. Hopefully he had at least some input when all of this was being bargained, but he doesn't seem very happy with it now, and neither does Mike Scott.
Well, obviously it's something that was not put together by the players. And I think that right now that the players have an opportunity to speak up. They have a stage, they have a platform, and that they should get things right before they go back to play. There's a lot of issues going on with whether or not, these players should even be on the basketball court. But if you're out there and you don't feel like you're sending the right message, or they got something on your back that you're not agreeing to, then I don't think that that's showing that, that they're unified and that they're ready to come back and really bring a lot of positivity things back to the game. And that's what they need if they're going to come on the basketball court.
Rachel, I need to learn more about this because I don't quite know what the process was. Jaylen Brown, who, as you mentioned, is a vice president of the Players Union, he referred to it that there was some sort of process involved with the union here, and they did have negotiations here. But I wasn't sure how much they solicited the wide players' input. It's not 100% clear, but I have to also say that this is a process that's never been undertaken before. So on the other hand, I have to say that the league is trying to make positive change here and trying to do something where the players can use this platform, but it's not something they've ever done before, and there's logistical challenges, and they don't have uniform operations as normal because they're going to be in the bubble. So it's difficult to know exactly. I would just say that when I saw the list, having nothing to do with it, I thought the list was a little bit restrictive myself.
Well, it's interesting. We had Chinua Ogumike on the show on Friday, and she's, of course, on the executive board of the WNBA, and they've been negotiating with the NBA on the same issue. She said she expected some very strong things on the backs of players as they go forward. So we'll have to see what they decide, whether they use names, whether they use messaging, and we'll keep an eye on that story. All right, the Bucks and Kings both shutting down their practice facilities after positive COVID tests this weekend, making it a quarter of the 22 teams that have now stopped all workouts until they travel into the bubble. All those teams are scheduled to travel between Tuesday and Thursday to Orlando. So, Scotty, they weren't doing five-on-five drills anyway, but how can missing some of these individual workouts you think will affect these teams when the season resumes?
Well, I think it can affect a lot because, you know, first of all, you've got a lot of players who are being put in a position to put themselves into harm's way. We don't know anything about whether or not they're going to be able to stop this virus from spreading inside of this bubble. So as a player, you have to think that you're putting yourself in some kind of jeopardy. But along with that, I mean, if this virus does spread and it affects some of your top players on your team, then I don't think a lot of these teams are going to feel very comfortable going forward or even putting their team at such risk anymore.
Rachel,
Brian,
the reason this is so...
Yeah, go ahead.
The reason this is so disappointing is because part of the NBA's process here was to allow enough time for the players to build up. The reason that they built so much time between when they elected to restart the season and it actually happening was because these guys hadn't touched a basketball in a couple of months in some situations. And so they wanted to give them time. But with seven different facilities closing down before they even get to the bubble, some of the players are losing that time. And so that's really concerning, not just today and the fact that the virus is an issue, but also what this will mean physically as the players build up to restarting.
Yeah, a lot of these guys, though, were doing individual workouts prior to the facilities opening. So you would hope that with instructions from the team, they could do some of those at their driveways, you know, basketball court, that kind of thing. We will have to see. I do want to note that players and staff from 11 of the 12 WNBA teams are traveling to their single site in Bradenton, Florida today. Only the Indiana Fever are delaying their travel. They're waiting at least 5 days. The Indianapolis Star reported that the Fever had two players test positive. All right, for those that have to travel to Orlando late or rejoin or leaving the team, here are requirements to rejoin the team. And this is another really interesting wrinkle to all of this. For those that arrive privately, that means the private plane, after, quote, extenuating circumstances, they will require two negative tests before resuming to basketball activities. For those that travel on public airplanes, they will need three negative tests. And any player that had a positive test previously must quarantine at home and then have two negative tests before even making the trip to Orlando, as the Nets' Spencer Dinwiddie is trying to do this week. Now, if a player missed a regular testing over the past several weeks, they will require six negative tests before they can return to play. Brian, that is a lot of rules and regulations. Is it the most fair way for the system to work?
Yeah, not only that, if you have an unexcused absence, the rules say that you have to get the test up your nose, all the way at the top of your nose. As you know, I don't want to use the word punishment, but that's what it sounds like to me. You know, in talking with our Malika Andrews, who has been down there in the bubble since last week, and she had to pass 5 or 6 consecutive days of tests before she could leave quarantine. She has been basically holed up in her room since last Thursday. This is going to be some of the most anxious moments that the players have. And specifically, it really sort of makes you want to try to fly private down to Orlando. And there's some gray area rules about how that all gets paid for, whether you have an excused absence or whether you miss the flight or whatever. So the complexities of the rules and the testing, Rachel, never cease.
Guys, I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna put myself in the player's shoes and say, I don't know if a championship is really worth it. You know, you're gonna have teams trying to limp in to a finish line. I mean, you're gonna have players getting sick along the way. Is this going to feel like a real championship, or is this feeling like whoever stayed the most healthiest and they were able to win at the finish line? Because you may not even have your best players out there on the basketball court, and we're talking about battling for a title. I mean, to me,
I feel like the answer to that, Scotty,
It doesn't make sense.
I feel like the answer to that, Scotty, is just going to be, go ahead.
I feel like you're putting these players in harm's way in such a way is that we don't know the long-term effect of what this virus can do to some of these players. Like, and we're still willing to say that they're invincible to some way. If they do get the virus, they should heal. But you're telling the rest of America to keep a mask on.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And look, Scotty, I think a lot of people are waiting to see kind of how this plays out, right? To your point, if guys are going down every round, I think the feelings about the championship will change. But there are also a lot of people who feel like everything that a champion will have had to go through to get to that title, to get to holding up that trophy, might make it a more worthy title. That's certainly what Adam Silver has been telling his general managers and coaches. We'll have to see if the players really buy into that as well. Thank you guys out there for dealing with our technical difficulties. We got more Jump to come. Coming up, Serge Ibaka says his Raptors are ready to defend the title, but is their early bubble setup going to be an advantage or a disadvantage come playoff time? We will discuss. First, though, we continue our countdown of the best plays of this season with plays 26 through 24.
A 17-point lead for them. It was a 2-point Sacramento lead at the half. Bam! Oh, my!
Looked like bowling pins inside. Watch the three Kings just scatter as he finishes on top of the basket. Unbelievable power and athleticism. What the crusher?
King me!
That was the second team foul against Cleveland here in this quarter. Bonga in the corner. Beal all the way to the hoop for the monster dunk!
What section is this? Am I in a whole other section right now?
I know it's not Sunday, but Andre Drummond just got baptized.
Joe Ingles will inbound. Brook Lopez will cover that. 1.3 remaining.
And Bogdanović pops to the corner. He's open for three. Got it! Bojan Bogdanović downwind!
An unbelievable game in Salt Lake City.
The basketball tournament continues tonight with a round of 16 matchup at 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the app. The single elimination bracket has a $1 million winner-take-all first prize. And welcome back to The Jump. Guys, as NBA teams prepare to travel to Orlando this week, one team, the Toronto Raptors, already have a head start. They were the one team granted permission to travel early because of the complications with trying to return to Canada from the U.S. amid all this pandemic, shutdowns, and quarantines. So they've been working out in Fort Myers, Florida. And Raptors forward Serge Ibaka likes what he's seen so far. Here's his quote. I just saw how everyone is in great shape. They came in here in great shape, and as soon as we got here, everyone was starting to put in work. I've been in the league for 11 years. You can see when people are locked in and when they are ready mentally and when they are not. So I can tell you right now, mentally, everyone is ready. Everyone is ready. Scotty, do you think the Raptors traveling early to Florida gives them an advantage over the rest of the league? They're able to get some of these more workouts in and kind of be in this lockdown environment earlier.
Rachel, I thought they was able to travel early because they were the defending champs, let's not forget. But I think if you think any team feels the confidence to even win a championship, it probably will be the Toronto Raptors. They've been playing good basketball before the break. I'm sure they still feel the confidence that they can get out of the Eastern Conference. So they're still pretty much on a high horse, you know. I'm not going to knock them for losing Kawhi, but I think that this team still has a lot of confidence and believe that they can get back to the finals.
You know, Scotty, I know you've been a little concerned about the bubble, and I think your concerns are justified. But if you want a reason to think that it can work, the little experiment of the Toronto Raptors is a reason for everybody to feel optimistic. They have been there for 2 weeks. They have no positive tests, knock on wood, that their latest round comes back negative. They had to go there early because of the difficulty of traveling between Canada and the U.S., which seemed like a downside. But instead, they haven't had to shut their facility. They've been able to work out together. And as Serge mentioned, Rachel, they've been building great camaraderie and great rhythm. And so the fact that their little mini bubble is working and that they have generally stayed happy and positive is an example for the other 21 teams that are joining them in Florida this week to follow?
The truth is, we wouldn't really see the negative effects, if there are any, of them gathering in Fort Myers until later on, right? Because the one thing that the mental health experts who consult the league are worried about are these feelings of isolation, separation from these players' families, things like that. Those don't really kick in after 2 weeks. These guys take two-week road trips all the time. So we will have to see if their longer extended bubble stay has any effect on the back end. They certainly seem to be developing great chemistry on the front end and just enjoying being together again. But you're right, Scotty, when you have talked on the show already today about guys having second thoughts. Garrett Temple of the Nets, one of the union's vice presidents, spoke about reservations that a lot of players are facing as they prepare to enter the Orlando campus. Take a listen to this.
A lot of people have had second thoughts. I would imagine more than half of the league, of the players that are going, have had second thoughts. The question of us being comfortable, that's anywhere, that will not be the case whatsoever. We will have to adapt, and we're gonna get tired of it. But in no way, shape, or form will anybody honestly be comfortable, whether it be on the court or off the court, during leisure time or not. So it's gonna be interesting.
Brian, are Temple's comments consistent with what you've been hearing?
I mean, I haven't talked to 200 players to say more than half, but my guess is that saying the half have reservations is low. I mean, look what's going on out there. We have numerous states that are having to backtrack their reopening. Florida has concerning numbers. We have, a half dozen NBA teams that have had to shut down their facility. A bunch of NBA teams and players who have either tested positive themselves or had seen teammates, their coaches or staff test positive. I would be skittish, too. I think it's only natural to be skittish, but the thing that has been shining through all of this is the belief that the NBA has designed the safest thing possible. That faith is getting all of those players onto the planes the next 3 days. That faith is going to be what's tested the next few months down in Orlando.
Guys, I've been around this game, and I've been protected to the highest level through the NBA security, through whatever precautions that they have to take you through. And, I believe that they're going to do everything in their power to keep these players safe. But at the end of the day, I don't know if what they have is enough, because players are still coming up with this virus to some way, somehow. And unless we're able to keep it out of this sort of bubble that they built, then I don't think it's going to be a fair game when it comes to playing for an NBA title. I know when you look at it, you're going to say that the strong survives, but I think all these players are going to be put in such a situation that as they go through this, I don't know if it's really going to be worth them putting their lives and their health in jeopardy to play for a title over the next couple months when this virus is spiking up and down.
It's so hard to figure out. In some ways, being on this Orlando campus might actually be safer for these players than being in their homes, unless they are really isolating in their houses, barely going to the grocery store, doing nothing else, seeing no one. Being in a campus environment where every single person there is getting tested every day in some ways might be safer, but also, Scotty, of course, that's not the only consideration. These guys have families back home that are out in the world where this pandemic is rising here in the United States. So I certainly understand all of the complicated feelings, and it would be troubling if no one was having second thoughts. That meant you weren't taking this seriously enough. So we will keep talking about this throughout the show. Coming up, though, the Lakers will be down a key assistant coach when they go to Orlando, and they're not the only ones. We will discuss the impact of some of the NBA's older assistant coaches staying out of the bubble. First, though, here's our first distant replay. It's from this date in 2007.
Jake, because we are going to play at this pace.
Game, what a move on.
Oh, no! Welcome to the NBA, Mr. E. You saw it coming, didn't you?
There might not be two other guys in the league who can do this. I don't know that there's one other guy in the league who can make that play. In traffic, Joel.
There are several members of our staff that we're not going to be able to bring into the bubble that, quite frankly, we need in the bubble. But, you know, the environment just doesn't allow us to do that. And, you know, that's just part of the, you know, the pandemic life and the situation we're in. But, you know, it was a miserable experience trying to measure all those things and trying to figure that out.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols here with Brian Windhorst, Scottie Pippen, and we just heard Frank Vogel talking about the difficulties of putting together the list of people in the Lakers organization slated to travel to the Orlando bubble. One person who will not be traveling, assistant coach Lionel Hollins. He is 66 years old. He was deemed a higher risk individual due to underlying medical conditions. Pelicans assistant Jeff Fizdelic, age 67, will also not travel to the bubble after consulting with team physicians. So, Scottie, as someone who played for and won titles with one of the great assistant coaches ever in Tex Winter, can you explain to our audience just how important having those older, more veteran assistant coaches can be?
Well, Rachel, it was important. You know, I kind of grew up in the game with two older coaches, Tex Winter, as you spoke, but also Johnny Bauch, who both those coaches who have now passed away. But their presence are important. You know, they are so important in the locker room, on the sidelines, throughout the practices. It's important to hear their criticism and their point of view of the game. But they also bring a lot of positive feedback, and I think that's what's missed the most, is that the younger players always want to please those older coaches and make sure that they get a good rapport coming back from those coaches. So they enjoy that feedback. So I think they will miss those coaches to some degree.
Well, especially Rachel, because a lot of those coaches don't just work with the players, they work with the head coach. One of the things that head coaches like in this league is an old head on the bench to keep them calm, to give them advice on off days and practices and stuff like that. And that's one thing that these coaches are going to lose. I mean, one of the reasons why Frank Vogel stocked his staff with a highly experienced set of guys like Jason Kidd and Lionel Hollins was because he wanted their input. So it's just another thing that is going to make this journey so unique and complicated for the team that ends up winning it.
Absolutely. And you heard Vogel talk about the traveling party count, how hard it was for him to stack his 35-man roster, as you call it, of everyone going from the organization. And the Pacers and Wizards guys are in an interesting situation with all of this. Victor Oladipo will be traveling with the Pacers to Orlando, but he's not going to play. And Wizards coach Scott Brooks said today that Bradley Beal will travel with his team, but is still undecided if he will play. Obviously, that's an interesting choice in a postseason where we expect roster depth to play a huge factor, but it's just not just that the teams could be taking an extra player instead of either Oladipo or Beal. It's that they could have used that spot for all kinds of personnel, an extra assistant coach, medical person, etc. So Brian, what do you make of this decision?
Well, look, those guys are their franchise players. If they want to come, you're going to bring them. That's just the way it goes. The Oladipo thing is hard to compute because the team and Oladipo's trainer have come out and said that he is in great shape. He obviously was cleared to play, and he's not afraid enough of the virus to not go. And he has explained that it's because he hasn't had enough five-on-five play, but they're not playing a playoff game for 6 weeks. So I don't understand why he couldn't come and get five-on-five play in Indiana. That is a situation that I'm having difficulty explaining. There's a piece of information that appears to be missing that nobody wants to talk about publicly with that situation. With Bradley Beal, I think if the Brooklyn Nets were fully healthy, Bradley Beal may not have come, but the Wizards are all of a sudden now in range of making the play-in game, because the Nets have been decimated by injury and COVID, and Beal's situation is really challenging, especially with a couple of other his teammates not coming. I understand the complexity of both situations, but you're not going to look your $100 million players in the eye and say they can't come.
You know what? The way I see this, when you talk about guys like Bradley Beal, those kind of guys, Oladipo, those guys are leaders of their team. They're just important as the head coach. I think it's important for those guys to continue to be a part of that unit, just because their leadership is needed whether they're in uniform or not. So I think it's important that if they're going to bring their troops in, that they do need those guys' leadership, and their presence being there is very important, I think.
Well, those teams obviously agree with you, Scotty, because those guys are going whether they play or not. All right, coming up, we're going to give the Celtics the jumps previously on treatment, and we'll ask, can Jason Tatum be the best player on a championship team? Not eventually, right now. You're going to want to stick around for that conversation. But first, here's what the jump recommends for today. Kevin Pelton and Mike Schmitz teamed up on an ESPN Plus to rank Tatum and other NBA third-year players by their superstar potential. And guess what? Tatum very high on both of their lists. So check that out during the break. Do a little studying, and then the jump will be right back. All right, guys, we've been running a fun series here at The Jump, taking a bunch of the teams that are competing in Orlando and catching you up on where they are, since it's been so very long since you've actually seen them on the court. Basically, it's like when your favorite TV show comes back from hiatus. We've covered the Sixers, the Rockets, and the Bucks, and today we're going to continue with the Boston Celtics. When you're going over the king, two hands, ladies and gentlemen.
That's over LeBron. That's like Tatum a year or two ago. Remember?
I really like Kemba Walker. Well, he's like that perfect Boston fusion of Isaiah Thomas and Kyrie, able to take over games.
Mm-hmm. They got rid of the guy who they needed to get rid of, Kyrie Irving.
It's certainly not Kyrie's fault.
You think it was your fault?
Yeah, I do think it was my fault.
Having the right leaders always help.
It's just a better vibe, Paul. It's just a better vibe.
I mean, obviously, they got better leadership in there.
A magnificent defensive play from Marcus Smart.
The evidence of Mike Green's Snickers consumption is right there on the floor.
Shame on you.
Hayward underwent surgery on the hand he broke over the weekend. He won't be back until around Christmas. So at least now we can bring back, yep, you knew it was coming, Haywatch.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, any long-term worries here?
Their success will greatly depend on Kemba Walker and his health.
The most points allowed in the fourth by a Celtics team since 1972.
That was ridiculous.
Pulls up from the wing.
Yeah.
Right?
That was nice.
That boy to the left of me is an absolute problem.
My best friend from back home, he called me like, bro, LeBron just gave you, he just shouted you out.
I think he's making the leap to superstardom.
What is this, third year? Mm-hmm. It's that time.
It's time.
I don't want to give him superstardom right now until I see what he does in the playoffs.
All right, as you just saw, LeBron James taking notice of Jason Tatum's play, and not the only one. Since February, the 22-year-old is scoring 29 points a game and has become Boston's official number one option on offense. Now, Scotty, the Celtics have title aspirations now. Do you think Jason Tatum is already now capable of carrying that best player on a championship team title?
Rachel, I really do. I think this has been a breakout season for Tatum. He started out this season sort of on a mission to separate himself from the other players who've grown and developed, as well as really showing some leadership, I think, by becoming an all-star this season. But his scoring was really starting to peak right there. He again separated himself a little bit from the other players to show that he was going to be the go-to guy, the offensive leader for that team. And I think if this team is to make a run, it has to rely on Tatum's ability to carry them offensively. And I feel like he's totally ready.
Nice.
Scotty, I think you'll probably agree with this. Even as good as some of their other players are, to really make a massive difference in playoff games over and over, you've got to have good size. And, you know, Kemba Walker and Marcus Smart are going to have moments. They may win them individual playoff games. But we've just seen how the NBA goes. You've got to be that type of player. And that is what Jason Tatum is bred to be. And this is the $100 million question. Whether we get the answer this playoffs or not, they're going to sign him to a max contract in all likelihood in this offseason, and they're investing him in their future. So they're gambling that this is going to be their guy.
Well, Brian, you mentioned height. If you weight by playing time, the Celtics are actually the third shortest team in the entire league. They don't have a starter above 6 foot eight, and that is interesting, right? The Bucks are going to be the top seed in the East. They certainly do not lack height. Brian, do you see the Celtics' height coming back to bite them at all?
Yeah, this is like an audacious move. It didn't get as much attention as the Rockets because Brad Stevens did this in the preseason when he decided to do this. But he's like, look, my best players are all 6'8" and under. I'm going to put my best players out there when it matters. And they haven't gone after a big man replacement. This is what the team they want to roll out. And the reason it's audacious is because the team that's one of their biggest rivals is one of the biggest teams we've seen in recent NBA history in the Philly 76ers. That's a team that they've struggled with. They like their chances against the Bucks. Against the Sixers, it hasn't been so good. And that's why these seeding games are going to matter. Because guess what? Today, that would be a first-round matchup, and I think the Sixers like how they match up.
What about you, Scotty? How much do you worry about height with the Celtics?
Well, I think the Celtics are a very dangerous team. I don't worry about it with that team. If there's any team out there that can get hot and those young players can come together, do it collectively, they're a very scary ball club. So I'm not going to worry about them. I think that they're going to have a great opportunity based on the fact that, you know, the same preparation is going to be for every team. It's going to be a short window of preparation. So I think their style of play, again, if they can shoot the basketball well and get those guys going, they could be a difficult matchup. And I think that's how they're looking at the coin, is that how our teams are going to defend us instead of how we worried about defending the bigger size and size out on the basketball court.
I think that's absolutely right. We expected maybe the Celtics would make a move at the trade deadline, right, to sort of maybe bolster up, bulk up their height, bulk up their center position, and they decided not to, kind of just like you said, Scotty. They're like, we're us. We feel good about us. We'll see how everyone does. Roll the dice against us. Just you watch. All right, guys. Love that, catching up with the Celtics. But up next, we're going to talk about Zion Williamson because he is officially no longer a teenager. What should his biggest goal be as he enters his 20th age year? First, though, time for our second distant replay of the day. This one from a former Celtic and Pelican on this date.
His first basket of his professional career comes in the NBA Summer League. In the distance, it'll count. I believe it was released in time. Do you believe it? Do you believe it, Rajon Rondo? Why not try it?
Coming up next, it's 20 minutes of Jalen and Jacoby, highly questionable and around the horn. A two-hour SportsCenter special starts at 5 o'clock with the PTI guys joining at 5:30. And we cap the day with another SportsCenter at 11 Eastern. So with teams about to fly to Orlando, players' solo quarantines are officially winding down. So we thought it might be fun to play you some highlights of our conversations we've had with players while they've been on lockdown in their houses all these months. Here are our quarantine combos. Take a look. I am honored to welcome back to the show the legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jason Tatum, John Wall, Asia Wilson, Chris Paul, Sabrina Ionescu, Penny Hardaway, CJ McCollum. You're getting shots up anywhere?
No, I'm not. This is the longest I've ever gone without shooting.
I haven't been able to touch a basketball.
I was watching the Cornhole Championships the other day.
Fred, that is quite the beard you're sporting.
Yes, not by choice.
I saw some players doing curls with suitcase, full of clothes.
Sue, you have become one of the heroes we need during this quarantine.
I'm sure all you follow LeBron on Instagram. It seems like the wine is working.
Jeremy Lin, what has been your most insane moment with the Chinese basketball fans?
I have my assigned room and I always do a secret switch that my teammates don't even know about.
You worked at Abercrombie and Fitch.
I worked there during the school year as a, I don't know, model, I guess.
Are you good with the nickname The Problem?
Yeah.
I do have to ask you guys about The Last Dance.
I actually reached out to MJ to tell him, like, it's responsible for a lot of us and why we're in the NBA now.
Flu or food poisoning?
I'm buying food poisoning. It's the worst you can feel knowing you're not gonna die.
Do you regret now not shaking their hand? Do you stand by that?
No, with all that whining they did, why shake their hand?
I really would have liked to have seen 99, the attempt at 7.
That's decades and decades of trash talk, Patrick.
If I call him right now, he'll still be talking trash to me.
Started going from how you doing to trash talking to like, I can beat you. And when you get beat by someone in street clothes, you know, it's not good. It's not good for your confidence.
Would you prefer the NBA just call it?
No, I would really love to see some conclusion to this season.
Coming back like this favors younger teams.
A team with a younger player like Luka Doncic?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
As long as they got the Fortnite or Fortnite, however you spell it, in the 2K, they'll be all right.
Obviously, we want to play. Oh, man, we want to play. We want to play bad.
We need to play basketball. We want to play basketball.
I feel like Dr. Seuss. Let's play in a house. Let's play in a shoe. Let's play wherever it takes. We want to play.
You and the Celtics, Jaylen Brown, have been participating together in those peaceful protests in Atlanta.
It's been quite an experience. People are desperate. People are losing hope. At this point, we need help. At this point, we need other people. We need people of different races to step up with us.
It shouldn't take a black man dying for us for the world to come together.
That guy kneeling on George and those three guys actually like watching. Yeah, forget you are police. You as a human being, you should be able to say, you know what, stop.
Do you think 2020 is going to eventually be seen as a turning point?
It already has been a turning point. It's got everybody's attention. We can do something now.
Loved all of those conversations. So many more coming up in the coming months. All right, it's crunch time here on The Jump. Las Vegas Aces All-Star center Liz Cambage expected to miss the upcoming WNBA season. Her agent says she is at, quote, high risk of severe complications if she contracts COVID. Brian, how do you think it's going to impact the WNBA to miss one of its biggest stars?
Yeah, this was a bummer. I mean, I certainly respect her decision. I'm sure she will have the full support of the league, but she's one of the absolute highlights of the whole league. I mean, you never know what she's going to do on a night-to-night basis. She can go for 40 at the drop of a hat. Disappointing, but there will be other stars there that are on their way traveling there today to pick up the slack.
All right, I want to move on to the basketball tournament because this past weekend on ESPN, multiple highlight-worthy plays that finished the game due to the Elam ending format. It's the same one we used in February's All-Star game where the team has to reach a specific score to win. So, Scotty, do you want to see target scoring in other parts of the NBA soon? It worked in that All-Star game in Chicago.
No. You know, it was a great thing to watch how it developed and panned out in the All-Star game. I felt like it worked well, but I don't want to see that the game start to change and guys start to play for that, no.
All right, from his lips, that man has 6 rings. We got to listen to him. The NBA has released its scrimmage schedule in advance of the season restart in Orlando. All 22 teams participating will play 3 scrimmages before the restart officially tips on July 30th. So, Scotty, is 3 scrimmages good if you were playing? Would you want 3 scrimmages before the season started off again?
Yeah, I would think 3 would be great. You know, I think the players are going to be able to do some scrimmages, sort of in-house, compete against one another. So I think this would be great just to really, if I could say this, measure to see if, you know, the interaction of players playing and competing against one another, how this virus is gonna affect that, and are the players are gonna be okay. So I think 3 games is definitely some way of being able to sort of test how things are gonna roll out.
Everybody wants to play. They want to get back on the court. I don't know if we're going to see the stars play in all these games or scrimmages or whatever, but everybody's going to want to get there, especially after they go through their quarantine. They're really going to want to get out there and play. It's going to be a relief to see it happen.
It's amazing how the shutdown has changed everything. If I told you that we were talking about will TV broadcast or not some scrimmages, everyone would be like, eh, who cares? But guess what? That is going to be a hotly debated topic because, Brian, you're right. Everybody's going to want to see these guys play, even casual pickup. All right, guys, it is time to wish a happy birthday to one of the league's brightest young stars. Oh, yes, Zion Williamson, not a teenager anymore. Happy birthday, Zion. Today, he turns 20. In a very short amount of time, he's made such a big impact in the league, one of the most productive teenagers in NBA history. So, Bryant, now that he's 20, what should Zion's biggest goal be for this year?
Playoffs, because it's within their reach. I'd like to remind you that LeBron James didn't make the playoffs his first two seasons. Kevin Durant didn't make the playoffs his first two seasons. It's really hard to make the playoffs, especially coming in as a rookie. For as much hype as we get about rookies, very rarely are they able to elevate their teams. Well, guess what? Zion has elevated the Pelicans in just 20 games that he's played. He has made them significantly better, and now he gets an offseason, essentially, to get healthy, hit the ground running. Look, I'm not expecting him to go out there and play 38 minutes. They're going to have to watch his minutes. They're not going to want to, you know, go crazy here. But this is all out there for them, and I know David Griffin and Alvin Gentry want the Pelicans to play well. They want to make the playoffs. I think this is the beginning of an incredible moment for Zion to grasp and show everybody what kind of force he can be in this league.
Well, Rachel, Brian, for me, I think this young man has came out in 20 games and shown that he's going to be a star in this league, and it's just a matter of time before we put an all-star jersey on him. But for me, his future totally relies on him really taking care of his body. I saw a year ago when he left college how he was probably being dragged all around the country and was yes. not in the tip-top shape that we were accustomed to seeing this young man in high school and then as well at Duke University. So I would say the most important thing that, you know, that he really control his diet and really continue to focus on getting stronger, not that he really needs it, but I think it all works mm-hmm. hand in hand in terms of him really working on his conditioning going forward and just always staying in the best shape and never allowing himself to get out of shape.
Yeah, well, we saw those pictures of him at the Pelicans workout facility the other day, Scotty. He is cut, and to your point, it's something he's going to have to work out his entire career. We've seen when big man put on too much weight and how that can lead to injuries. All right, this just in at the buzzer. I mentioned earlier, Chinua Ogumike told us the WNBA might go a little stronger than the NBA with the messaging on the backs of the jerseys. And indeed, according to Ramona Shelburne and Zach Lowe, the WNBA and its union have agreed to feature the names of women who have died in connection to police action or racial violence, names like Sandra Bland, Breonna Taylor. This will all happen when the league resumes play later this month. Additionally, WNBA players will also wear warm-up shirts that say Black Lives Matter and say her name. Scotty, what is your reaction to this news?
I think it's great. You know, right now, the WNBA, the NBA players, they're going to have an opportunity to, you know, speak on a level that no other players in the past have been able to stand at this level. So I think they should take advantage of it and to be able to make a difference. And everyone is really watching them.
Absolutely. Thank you, Scotty. Thanks to Brian. The Jump is back on ESPN2 tomorrow. See ya.